Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you now and forevermore. Amen. Seems like the Spirit likes to play with me. Every time I think I've got a sermon the way I want it, some things happen during the week, including on the drive-in, and things have to change. As I read the Gospel, I was thinking about a couple of years ago when I was at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And I was watching the rabbis instruct some of the young students in not only how they should approach the wall and what it was about, but all of the laws applied to them being there and living their faith. And what I kept hearing troubled me, because I kept hearing that if you obey every single law with all the details that we lay out for you, then of course God will bless you and yours and even your ancestors. But if you don't, there will be punishment. There will be difficulties. The law, as they described it of God, became incredibly cumbersome. It seemed as if they needed to earn God's love and acceptance and approval in order for life not only to be palatable and successful, but joyful. And I thought back then to the lesson. I could almost see, as I was at the River Jordan, John proclaiming the requirement for repentance and Jesus laughing and loving and forgiving, and treating each who came to him as a child of a loving God. What a profound difference. It makes all the difference in our understanding of our relationship to God. Unfortunately, we often see on TV and hear preachers who are making megabucks, giving us ideas about how to be successful in life, if only we will follow God's law. They're missing the point of Jesus coming among us, of living his life as an example for us, of taking on the sin of all mankind, paying the price, dying and rising again, so that we might have a loving relationship with our Father, so that we might receive the promise of Christ that no matter what, He will be there for us. I told you that I kept encountering a number of things that made me think about this lesson. Some of you, I'm told, when heard I was going to be preaching today, thought, oh no, it's going to be about 4th of July and patriotism. And some were hoping that would be the case. So let's see if I can encourage some and disappoint others. Of course, my frame of reference, most of you know these days, where I spend most of my time is with the wounded warriors on the Marine base. And I have to tell you that there have been so many situations of late that when we had our recent colleague meeting with all of the Lutheran pastors, and a simple question was asked, so how's everything going okay over there? I was surprised that I was choked up and had a hard time talking. Because what I see day to day hurts my heart. But what I see day to day gives me great joy. As a pastor, as a fellow believer. They have some counselors over there that are not hired because of their religious understanding, but because of the expectations of how they were going to help coordinate the care for these folks. And yet, as I sat down and talked with them individually and asked them what brought them to that position, each in their own way said, you know, I've had a number of challenges in my life that people have helped me overcome, but it's been mainly the people of faith. It's been my reliance on God and on the Lord who gives me life. And I felt called. How many social workers often say to you, I feel called to be in this position? And yet that's what drives each and every one. And what a difference it makes. They're not afraid to talk with the troops about healing body and mind, yes. But the third important component is spirit. And that's right in the mission statement, along with relationships. And they tell them that the relationship, certainly with family and friends, is important, but the relationship that's going to make all the difference for them in their healing and ability to move on is their relationship with their God as they understand Him. One young man is about to turn 20. He stepped on an improvised explosive device, and it didn't explode fully. And so while he was thrown and his leg was injured, he had no shrapnel wounds, and he is obviously alive. He has terrible PTSD. His flashbacks at night, his nightmares, make him feel like he's reliving it all over again. And I asked him, how do you go to bed each night anticipating that this is going to happen? And he said, God kept that device from killing me. God has me here for a purpose. God saved me, then He can certainly get me through these nightmares. They're not pleasant. They'll continue. But I know when I go to bed every night that I'm not alone. Another young man wasn't quite so fortunate. He's now out of his wheelchair with a walker. And if you were to see his legs and his back, you would see all of the shrapnel wounds. And day after day, he encourages some more shrapnel to work its way out. He married a girl some time ago that had just turned 18. And based on her family life experience, she has a poor understanding of what it's like to be a marriage partner, much less an adult. While he was over there, she was having relationships with others. She spent all his money. She doesn't have a driver's license, but took his truck and damaged it twice. She can't handle his nightmares and his flailing at night, and so he stays in the barracks while she stays at the house. And when one additional thing happened where, because she felt like such a failure, she took a knife and attempted to kill herself. I was called to come and be with them and see what we could work out. Eventually brought him back to the barracks, to his bed, and he collapsed there in terrible physical pain and emotional pain and sobbed. And finally he said to me, "Chaps, why do you care? Why do you love us like this?" And I said, "Because you're my brother in Christ." And he said, "Yeah, I go to church, I hear that. But why do you love me?" And I said, "Kenton, because God loves me. How can I not love you in these difficult times? When God has been there for me, when He has yoked Himself to me on so many occasions and put people in my life that help me move on." They're both reading their Bible and back to church. It's going to be a long road. But they know neither one is alone. As long as they depend on Christ to be on their lives, to forgive them, and to send the Spirit to lead them, they have a chance. Two much more mature people that have been in my life for a number of years were on the aircraft carrier with me. One was the executive officer, the other was the supply officer, and they came to hate each other. And they've been fueling this feud for years, since 1984. I've been in touch and seen each. In fact, you should know one who heard I was working with the Wounded Warriors has now sent $1,000 to LCH for our Wounded Warrior Fund. What do they have in common? Yes, they're people of faith, but they're both battling cancer. One thought he was cancer-free and found out last week it's back. Multiple myeloma. He doesn't know how much longer he has. The other is battling prostate cancer. And so I said to the two of them, "I have you in prayer. And I think what I hear you each say is that you are relying on the power of God to heal you if possible, but if not, to help you live each day as a gift from God. Not just to be with your families and to create memories that will last, but to be a gift in the life of others as you share how God helps you through this." And so I very gently said, "You know, the other person is dealing with this too. And it may be time, given the tragedy you each are facing, you know something many others don't know. And you can be a blessing for one another. The email I got at 6:30 this morning said they've been talking. And they've buried the hatchet. And they're sharing with each other not only the struggle, but how God day to day helps them through and enables them to make the most of every day. Each in their own way have said, without being yoked to Christ, I couldn't possibly do this. Last night I got a call from a woman I haven't heard from in 30 years. We do the obligatory Christmas letters, but I haven't spoken with her, and she felt the need to call. I knew her husband during Vietnam, and he was one of my mentors. Unfortunately, his experiences there got him into alcohol, and he relied on that as his best friend. The thing that was supposed to salve his emotional wounds, and of course it betrayed him. And so she got into Al-Anon and became very involved there. He's been dead now some years. From cirrhosis. She called because she wanted me to know that she nearly died 2 weeks ago, but once again believed that God had kept her around for a purpose. Her life has been very difficult. But because of how she has lived her life in faith, her daughter has become a pastor. Because of how she lives her life, people in her community come to her and ask regularly, "So, tell me about this Jesus who allows you to laugh and smile when I know what your life is like. I need to know him too." Lastly, another call last night. Some years ago, when I had a retreat ministry, one of the people was a sailor whose life was in shambles. He was divorced. He was an alcoholic and an overeater. Anything that would help him forget the challenges in his life. He was one of the people who had been instructed that God is a vengeful God. The way you live your life as a person of faith is to simply obey the law of God. You'll know you're doing well if your life is perfect. You'll know you're coming short if it's a mess. It's all up to you. And of course, he was failing and he was miserable. And he was introduced by some of the folks to the God that turned their lives around, who helped them see that God loves us as we are. There's no way we earn God's love and forgiveness. But we live our lives in thankfulness for the forgiveness that is ours in the promise of Christ to be with us no matter what. It made all the difference. He will now retire next week as the senior enlisted person in his unit in the Navy. When he originally was going to be thrown out. And so he asked if I would be part of the ceremony, and I said, "But I'm retired. Why do you want me there?" He said, "You don't understand. You put people in my life that introduced me to Christ that made all the difference. It's the only reason now that I'm married again with three wonderful children, that I've been the success I have in the Navy, and I've been able to influence the lives of all of those who work for me. I want my ceremony, despite what the Admiral said, to have a reference to God as the center of my life and the reason why I have been able to do what I have. And I want you to proclaim it. Yoked with Christ, he made a major turnaround in his life, and he's not bashful about other people hearing the reason for his success. Do you identify with any of them? Are there times when you too, as I asked the kids, have felt like God answers everybody's prayer but yours? Are there things that you are facing now that are so overwhelming you wonder day to day if you should even get out of bed? Are there challenges with your loved ones? Make it very difficult to be in that relationship? Do you wonder if everybody else seems to have a purpose? Why am I here? Christ reminded us today that in those times when you're not able to pull that heavy load, bear that heavy burden, he is there. He knows what it's like to be cast out by a community, to be condemned by people who don't understand, to be blamed for the ills of people around him, to have family turn their backs on him. And by his faithfulness to God, he was able to live as an example for us on how love is the greatest power. God's love is available to each and every one of us. We are all children of a loving God. And if we will only yoke ourselves to him, he will make all the difference in our lives. I trust when you have one of those challenges this week, you will remember his offer and you will reach out your hand and take his. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.